to say, the true Christians have brought their Bibles today.
Son. Oh, true Christians.
Internalize the Bible.
I have no idea what I'm trying to say. I'm what the French call retarded. I think I need to turn myself up just a hair. All right, there we go. That's probably too loud, but anyways.
What's up, David?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Doing real good.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Who's this guy sent between us?
Well, we just, you know, he hopped in my car on the way here, and I just went, hey, you want to come with us?
You know what? With that, he does kind of look like one of those guys who would flag a ride because of the beanie.
Oh, yeah. It's hipster.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a hitchhiker.
What is it called? Hipster chic.
Chic. Wannabe.
Well, introduce him, son.
So this is my friend Johnny. Johnny's here on our podcast today. He's been part of our Bible study, and we asked him to join us for this special episode of Man Alive.
A very special episode.
Yes.
Yep, I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but...
You should. You should. If you notice on the camera, my special equipped. So we're in... I don't know if you want to call this a studio. We have acquired... Acquired's not the right word. Borrowed this place.
That's a qualify that just
Yeah. We have been given permission to use this house in an undisclosed location.
That's right.
And so we for the Bible study, but we're also going to use it for the podcast a little bit because we're together. Might as well knock out a podcast. And so if you notice that if you're watching, it looks different. It looks different. And we're in a room. It's empty, so it's kind of echoey. So we're gonna have to work some things out.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Which the feedback that I've been getting recently is that our podcasts are only coming through one ear.
Yeah,
when you're listening to them. So I gotta fix that. I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know what I've done or haven't done. But
I need to see if it's only on YouTube or if it's Spotify and YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not
sure.
It may be my anyways, all that's besides the point.
That's right. That's right.
Today we're going to be talking about bulletproof.
How to be bulletproof.
Now, we're not talking about drinking liquor. Are we?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just thinking that what does a armored vest and liquor have in common?
They're bulletproof.
Or what's the difference? One makes you feel bulletproof, the other makes you.
So anyhow, we're going to do a podcast. So yeah, I apologize, folks. New setup, new location. I'm trying to get the
new, right. Well, still same old problems.
Same old. Well, yeah.
So yeah, bulletproof. How can we be bulletproof in today's culture with the words of the enemy of the culture flying around us?
Primarily, we need to ban the guns.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say.
Without guns,
that's right.
You can't shoot bullets.
Ban the guns, ban the travel.
I had a joke in my sermon today where we were talking about, I was talking about David had a slingshot. And I said, this isn't like Bart Simpson's slingshot. This is a legit weapon. I said, and if it held more than 30 rocks, it would have been banned.
And if you watch videos of people showing how to use one of those slingshots, it breaks the speed of sound.
It's wicked.
Like a bullwhip. You've heard a bullwhip make that crack. It cracks because it breaks the speed of sound at the end.
Yeah.
Those slingshots do the same thing, and you can hear that pop.
Have you seen the one where they got the slingshots that are basically on the end of a stick? And mm-mm. Some people think that's what David used because Goliath says, do you come with me like a dog with sticks?
Sticks. Hey, I never thought about that.
It's a slingshot. It's probably about head high. And you hold on to the bottom of the stick and the strap. And you sling it. I mean, you whoosh, and you let go of the strap. But because it's on that stick, it builds that much more momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And that joker will hit something. And you're like, ooh, that would hurt. That would hurt.
Just ask Goliath.
Yeah.
So no, in some places in the world, Christians are in very real physical danger. But here in America, right, where we still have some resemblance of a Christian nation, we tend to suffer through the actions, the words of others, their looks, how we're treated.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go to Ezekiel chapter 2. And this could have been written today. But listen to what the Lord God tells Ezekiel, and we're going to talk about how do we do this. And you, son of man, God talking to Ezekiel, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. That is Ezekiel 2, 6 through 7. And then right in the next chapter, he reiterates this. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, have I made your forehead. Fear them not, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Talking about the nation of Israel and the corruption that it went through.
Yeah, yeah. So, what you're pointing out is, here's God making Ezekiel able to withstand the verbal attack. Okay? How are you wanting to apply that to us today?
And think about, to add to that, think about how thin-skinned we are today. Right? We live with nerves on the outside of our body, letting things hurt us.
Yeah.
Whether it be a look, a word, an action that may not even have meant to hurt us, but we live with our nerves on the outside of our bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
And we let things. I like Doug Wilson. This is kind of taken out of context, but I think the application is right. Some words are not flammable, some words are not meant to inflame or catch things on fire, but things have become more flammable.
Yeah, like, if we're not careful in this house, we've got gas heater and these propane lanterns. Our intention would not be to burn it down, but
So I think about how this is a subject that was on my heart lately, because of a recent situation I was in, and I wanted to ask David a few questions about. Because David's a pastor. David Brock, you're Pastor David Brock. And you have thick skin.
Yeah.
I got to give it to you. You have,
like a rhino.
We won't talk about...
Or a hippopotamus.
Well, I could draw comparisons of the hard head that God...
No. It's definitely like flint. Like flint.
So I guess to like start flint, us Michigan. Off... To start us off, I'm sure you have been hurt before. But God, would you say God has blessed you with thick skin? What I want to say is, how much of it has been given by God, and how have you built it up? Through the reading of the Word, through the Spirit, through prayer, how have you built up a defense where it's just a word and it has no power against me?
So I think God has developed me in multiple different ways. One is I've always said that I'm built like a mule. Both physically and mentally, and I meant to haul a bunch of crap. Like that's and so part of that's just DNA, God's sovereignty and DNA, I think, and upbringing, and we can dive into that in a little bit. But part of it is a heart for those who are talking crap about you. Right. And that's the part that I think the scripture and God has really, the natural gifting of it versus the spiritual gifting of it. And I think that is more the spiritual gifting, is actually having a heart for the people who are being ugly to me.
It's a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that is part of it. Now, do you want to dive into the natural aspect of being hard-headed and thick-skinned, and then we'll move it to the spiritual?
Let's dive into it.
Okay.
We'll talk about... So I'm on the opposite end of it.
All right.
And then we can ask Johnny about where do you fall in that line between being thick-skinned, being more sensitive, if that's a good word to use.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dive into that a little bit.
So, I've grown up as a redneck, right? And we're tough people to begin with. You know, I come from a family of junk talkers, and that's being polite. I come from people who are quick-witted and very creative in verbal insults. And then I went to go work in areas that were the exact same way. And so you learn to kind of just be, you know, you can tell people who are extra sensitive in areas like that, that they get their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they get shunned for it in those environments. And so you learn to be like, if somebody says something to you, ideally what you would do is take that insult, flip it around and throw it back at them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that teaches you to kind of be and know that what's personal and what's not.
Mm.
Right. Like a lot of insults, in the way that I grew up, they were not meant to actually hurt your feelings. They were just meant to be jabs.
Yeah.
And it was like a game. Right. And so, part of that, my dad's real thick skinned. My mom less so, but my dad, my grandfather on her side, very thick skinned. He was a pastor. And so you just learn to be able to deal with these things in a very just, a way that just maybe isn't godly, but very just reflective.
Almost like practice.
Yeah.
And building up a callus.
Yeah.
Like doing the exercise over and over again, yeah. or punching something really hard over and over again.
And so when you do that, you build strength in that area, right? Mm. And so that's how I was brought up. And I see it in my kids, especially my boy. You know, I see it in him. But there's a part of you that just doesn't take it serious, right? And it's just kind of whatever. And then when somebody is serious, you've kind of built that up, and it's like, whatever, who cares? I don't care what you think, right? And that was a transition for me to being like, I don't care what you think, to being, I do care what you think, but not in a, oh, no, they think something ugly about me.
So dive into that just a little bit, because you're talking about a balance here between being bulletproof and I'm a pastor. There's a need here.
Yeah.
There's something here. I need to – the gospel needs to be primary. Talk about that balance a little bit.
So, you know, you have to have a love for people.
Yeah.
And there comes a place where outside attacks – I'm still just as hard as anybody. I mean, like an outside of attack from the church or whatever, somebody says, well, that guy, he's just a big dummy. And I'm like, they're right. You know, like there's nothing special about
forehead.
Me. Yeah. I mean, you know, people, what was one of our first comments? Like, you're not very nice. All right, then.
Yeah.
You know, but people, you're, I remember when we were Bigfoot Revival, somebody was like, this isn't Christian nor Bigfoot-ish. I was like, well, that's half right. I'll let you guess which half. But you know, I mean, and these are light attacks. Most of the time, I can laugh something off. You know, if somebody calls me stupid, I'm like, yeah. Like my intro, right? And I have a very self-deprecating sense of humor.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, right before we ever got started, you know, I'm what the French call retarded, you know. And, like, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. And so there's two aspects that when you're growing in Christ that change. One is you actually do care that people know Christ.
Yes.
And so you want to be a good representation of Christ. So you want people to think well of
That's you. Exactly. So why did God make Ezekiel's head hard like emery, was thick in his skin, making so that the words didn't hurt him? It says so that you can talk to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse. Mm-hmm. Whether they hear or refuse, that's not your call.
Yeah.
You are here to give this word to them.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, I mean, especially if you're a pastor like I am, who is very much of the mindset of, I don't care what the world says. I'm here to preach about what the Bible says.
Yes.
I'm here to give you what the Word of God says.
Yes.
And that, you have to have a tough skin to do that, because the world is coming at you, and the world is going to call you a hick, and the world is going to call you stupid, and the world is going to say you need to get with it, and the world's going to say, you know, it's okay that you believe in God as long as you realize that we evolved, right?
Yeah.
And that kind of a thing. Like, are you one of those Christians who really believes that God created the world in 7 days? And it's still a line from Vodi Bakum. No, I believe it was in 6 days. And you're not one of those people who believe God didn't create the world, are you? You know, and
turn
so,
it around on them.
Yeah. And so, you got to be when you're interfacing with the world, you've got to be. I mean, I've been out there at the abortion mill preaching. I don't preach at the abortion mill a whole lot. I let the other guys do that. I enjoy having conversations with people who are very ugly to us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've seen people pull up and they're like, I don't believe in your God. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and I'm like, why are you so angry at him? Why are you so angry at him? Come on, man. If you don't believe in him, you don't believe he's real, then why are you so angry at him? Vicinities. Obscenities.
Obscenities in your vicinity.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I saved you.
And I need it.
You will.
So, you know, and they scream and, you know, they holler. And I really enjoy those encounters. I don't enjoy arguing with people in the sense of fighting.
Yeah.
I love iron sharpening iron.
Yeah.
But I don't like fighting with people.
Yeah.
But there is something to say about being able to have a conversation with somebody who vehemently disagrees with you.
Yes.
When you're proclaiming the Word of God to them. And watching the Word of God in that moment, the Holy Spirit hardened their hearts in that moment.
Yeah.
Because what are they doing? They're absolutely rejecting.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit uses that to harden their heart. And so it's an amazing thing. And it's not, but there it's not. You see people argue with people on YouTube, and they're like, you're a whore. You know, everybody out here is a whore. And people go, ah, you know, and it's like, look, we're being persecuted. Look how hard these people are persecuting us out here. Whores! You know, and I mean, that's street preaching. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's bogus.
Right.
But when you're preaching the gospel, and I mean just the gospel, and people freak out at you, and then you respond to them, there's a part of you that there's a boldness there that you appreciate, and you know it's only from God. And at the same time, your heart is breaking for this person because you're like, you are rejecting the truth. One of my favorite lines is whenever they call you a bigot. I know this is hard to believe, but I've been referred to as a bigot. And
bigot.
Yeah. You're a bunch of bigots. And my response is, hey, come talk to us. No, you're a bigot. Are you close-minded? Come talk to us. We just want to talk. I want to talk to you. I want to share with you why we say what we say. Don't be so closed-minded. And so, you know, and there again, I don't enjoy knowing that this person, if they don't repent, is going to die and burn in hell.
In a way, it's what hits my mind there is, the love that you have for the lost is what gives you that thick skin.
Yes.
That's what, yeah. And you wouldn't think that. We've been taught that love is, we've been so destroyed with emotional love here in America.
Yeah.
And just emotionalism in general, that love is a strong thing.
Yes.
It's a real and thing.
There again, just like you're saying, it's what allows us to be able to step out into the fire.
Yes.
You know,
at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't walk into that fire off of emotional love.
Exactly.
Right. They walked into that fire because they loved the one true God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't have said that any better.
And so you have, so, you know, you're thicker skinned. I'm not, I was not built that way.
Yeah.
Stuff, the whatever thickness I have other than overeating is from just getting those hits in.
Yeah.
Building up those calluses. But naturally, I'm a more sensitive person, thoughtful person. I care about what people say.
Yeah.
I care about what people think. I just, that's how I am.
Now, and let me add in one more thing, because what you just said reminded me of that. The other aspect is my love for Christ commands me to put everything else aside.
Yes.
My love for Christ demands me to put everything else aside. You must hate everything, including your own life, right? In other words, you must put Christ above everything else, even your own life. I've had guys come up to me, man, and they're like, y'all are brave. Y'all are brave. And I'm not talking about the abortion mill stuff. I'm talking about ghettos type stuff.
Mm.
And I'm like, I mean, we're just out here preaching the gospel. That's all we want to do, right? And shout out to my buddy Jacob, who's the one who kind of really got me involved in some of that. I'm not a street preacher, but I really do enjoy supporting his ministry in that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's probably more like you, to be honest. He's probably more like you. But yet his love for Christ,
the love of Christ,
drives him out there to preach the gospel. And he probably does hold on to things a lot more than I would, where I'm like, psh, whatever, you know. It is the love of Christ that makes me want to, any desire that I have to go stand anywhere and confront angry people is only because I believe that the love of God is the only thing that will transform their lives.
Amen. So you have David, right? Thick as iron, thick as a bull, thick as a rhino. Got me just thoughtful, kind of sensitive. Where would you fall, Johnny, on that spectrum? And then after that, there are issues. There's some issues with being way too sensitive, right? And there's issues with being way too thick.
Yeah.
So, Johnny, where would you say you fall on that line, that spectrum?
I mean, I'd probably be more on David's side of it. And I would just say part of it is just like a little bit of the upbringing. Like my family hoot and hollers all the time.
Yeah.
So it's almost like to the point where if you're not yelling at somebody, you're not having a conversation. so that definitely helps build a little bit of thick skin. And that's like something that I noticed later on, like when I would be in college and I'd be talking to somebody, if I raised my voice, it'd be like a normal thing.
Yeah,
but then
yeah,
some
yeah.
people, like, they can't handle it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's wrong with them?
Yeah. And I don't know if y'all have noticed, but I'm loud anyway.
Yep.
And passionate.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you'll be talking to somebody and get passionate, start throwing your arms around while you're talking to them. And they're like, holy moly.
What's wrong? Yeah.
You see what's wrong? Almost fear in their eyes. You're
like, yeah, they'll be like, what's happening here?
Your brain, there's something that clicks in your brain that goes, oh, I need to chill out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, that would be a good word for it, like passion. You get really involved in conversation and stuff. So that's another thing, like words and stuff, I don't really take them into account, which is, can be a good or bad thing.
Yeah.
Because you can get to the point where nothing anybody says affects you. So you don't have any constructive criticism at all. And somebody could actually be reproofing you and you're like, oh, I'm not going to accept that.
It's from the devil. It's not from God. Just let it bounce off. It's nothing. You're nothing.
Well, I don't at even that know, point, I don't love, even know with, when you have hard skin, I don't even know if you're going to go to that point of it's from the devil. I think you're just going to go. You know what I mean? It just shrug it off. Like you're not putting thought.
Not even think about it. Yeah. And at that point, love has disappeared. It's become something else.
Yeah.
Yep. And that was something like that I really noticed whenever I got saved and stuff, is like that hard-headedness. Anytime I'd be in a conversation about anything, because before it wouldn't even be anything related to the gospel at all.
Yeah.
But it was like every single person you come into a conversation with, it's almost like, oh, this is an enemy. Somebody I've got to defeat in this verbal attack.
Squishing the bug.
I have to prove them wrong. I have to be right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whereas something like, and I just reread through the New Testament a little bit ago, and there's a lot of like forbearance talks about forbearance a lot and dealing with the younger brothers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To be patient.
And to be patient, another, to have self-control.
Fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because, like, the initial response to somebody like me, if somebody were to get into an argument or something would get heated, is to, you know, get louder, talk over them. So there's a lot of learning how to, like, just sit back and learn.
Yeah.
You know? And when it comes to the essence of the gospel, you know, that's not something you can control whether somebody hears it or not.
Yeah.
You can proclaim it, but if it falls on deaf ears, it falls on deaf ears. Which is exactly what you were saying in Ezekiel.
Right. It's not our job.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I would relate to, like, the pastor. Like, you'll have people in your congregation or stuff that you're just preaching on deaf ears, but you've got to have that head.
That's right.
Yeah.
That you just keep pounding it over and over and over and over.
The word of God never returns void. It accomplishes what God seeks to accomplish.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
I have been in the church preaching and not name a doctrine or something of that nature. You're just teaching what the Bible says. And then you get to a point and it's like, okay, guys, and you're thinking this is going to be a hard thing to address. But because you've been down this road a little bit, chipping away at it and talking, you know, when you say, okay, this is correct. And they all go, yeah. You're like, oh, well, that was easier than I thought, because you're not trying to force your opinion onto somebody when we're talking about this way, talking about the things of God.
Yeah,
you're just wanting to give the word and let it do its work.
Yep.
So let's talk about on the other end of being like way too fragile, like a word breaks you.
Yeah.
Right. You take people at too face value. You take it too seriously. What's kind of the antidote for that? And maybe tied into some real life, being in walking about your day at your job or whatever.
This is going to sound trite, but the truth is Jesus.
Mm.
All right. If I care more about Christ than I do how this person likes me or takes me, then I'm going, and I'm not even talking about gospel things.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I'm talking about more like, I'm trying to think of something reasonable. I can throw out an extreme example in a heartbeat, but when it comes to something reasonable, I always have to
say. So, like, it's all like being in traffic, right? And you stopped at the stoplight like you were supposed to, and the car behind you goes, beats that horn, mad that you didn't. They're in a rush. It was slightly yellow. They're mad you didn't go.
Yeah.
Situations like that.
Yeah. I mean, if you think to yourself, okay, if I lose my temper, how does this glorify God?
Mm-hmm.
If I honk back, how does this glorify God? You know, how do I react in a manner that brings glory to God?
Yeah.
When you do that, then that both kind of tempers the fragileness, so it makes it harder. Hardens the fragileness, and tempers the hardness.
Hmm.
It does both, right?
It's the same answer.
Yes.
Christ is the way.
Yeah.
Same answer.
So it's Jesus that gives me a love for people to actually sit down, listen to them, and have a conversation. And then to be able to where you're comfortable enough to disagree with people and have arguments that need to be had, and it's Jesus that allows me not to take everybody. So, you know, a lot of that's fear of man issues.
Yes. Talk about that a little bit.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah, I'll do that. Yes, sir.
no, because this is really good. This is really good. It's needed.
So, a lot of times when you have someone who's sensitive, and not all the time. I mean, there's different reasons. But a lot of issues come from fear of man. A lot of issues come from, well, I don't want them to not like me. I don't want them to think I'm weird. You know, have you been in Walmart or a grocery store somewhere and there's a random stranger and you think, I don't think I shared the gospel with that guy. Right? But then you don't because you're like, well, he's probably busy. Or, well, I don't want to look weird. Or, well, you know, I don't want to come across as, well, what is that? That's fear of man. And so now you have been disobedient to the urging of the Holy Spirit, and because you have a fear of man. And that goes beyond that. You know, pastors, a lot of pastors are bound up in their churches because they're more concerned about having their congregation like them so that they yes. are approved of, so they don't get fired.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so that's you know, you got a buddy and he's living in sin. I'm not going to confront that sin because I would hate for my buddy to not like me anymore. And yeah. then how will I share the gospel with him?
No.
Right? And so the fear of man really does hinder us from being able to declare what God has given us to declare, the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. So when like I said, I mean, this is something that reaches down into something, you know, it's almost like pride. Fear of man is a lot like pride. It's something that's down deep, and it takes a lot of mining and working to remove that from people.
You're scared of looking bad in front of someone, and that also ties into cowardice.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And cowards don't get into heaven.
That's right. Exactly right. Did you have anything to add to that? You like you had something to say. You put the microphone to your mouth. So I just put him on the spot.
Thanks, James.
No, I mean, it's... I was just going to say how a lot of churches, I mean, do that. You got a very man-centered message.
Felt
because
needs.
I mean, honestly, I think the true essence of the gospel, I mean, it's going to hurt. I don't think you could really preach the true gospel because, you know, it's I think it's what 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we might be the righteousness of Christ.
That's right.
Righteousness.
Well, it's only good news if you understand the bad news, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you've got to realize who you are and repent of that. And I mean, that's a hard thing for a lot of people to grasp.
Yeah,
I think about
one thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. This verse popped in my head. Matthew 10. Let's see, 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul.
Yeah.
Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall on the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. What does 1 John say? Perfect love cast out fear.
Fear. Yeah. We used to shut out Bigfoot Revival every episode with, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment."
Mm.
In fact, in the ESV, it's self-control, which is what our Bible study
That's
was
what Bible, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it is, and we broke that down multiple times within the podcast of Bigfoot Revival. I mean, just because it was so important, because it was COVID time back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When we started that, and we were very harping on that we shouldn't fear these things, because God hasn't, fear doesn't come from God.
And would you even say that the people who tend to attack you, whether in church or in the world or at your workplace or wherever, maybe the reason they're attacking you is because they're afraid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they're gaslighting is what we call it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That they're fearful and they're attacking you.
I think a lot of that does come from, it's better to just ignore you because what if you're right?
Mm.
What if you're right? And so, our little light's going out, but it'll be all right.
So, any final thoughts? Yeah, I saw you turning in there.
Oh, I was just looking at 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, this is the ESV, love does not rejoice in wrongdoing.
That's right.
So, love isn't just this, like, gooey emotional thing. And also, it's easier, like you guys were just saying, just to, like, kind of lump somebody in a group, and it's easier to argue the group that you put somebody in instead of like what the person is actually saying.
Yeah.
Because if you sat down and listened to them, you might actually learn something.
No.
Considered a source.
Legit.
That works that's both legit. Ways. Considered a source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I would say when we're talking about being bulletproof, ultimately what we're saying is to be more concerned about Christ than we are the other people.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate good is Christ.
That's the ultimate bulletproof vest.
Yeah. So,
the armor of God.
Now, I want to swing this into a slightly different direction.
All right.
Because
you want to close out on this?
Well, if you want to close out, we are at 36 minutes, so we got a little bit of time if you all want right. to take it.
No, we'll go for it. I didn't know if our light was going to last that long or not.
Well, it's fine. We've still got that one.
Yeah.
If it goes out, then we'll have to close it out. That's not effects,
Fed. What is done people, in the dark.
that wasn't an effects that where we faded out. That's just what happened to our light. You'll just see the red glow of the heater. Let me think this through, what I want to say. I had it, but then I got distracted.
So we were talking about being bulletproof. Christ is what makes us bulletproof.
Okay, so what hurts is it's easy for someone like me, and I imagine Johnny, what he said is probably the same way. It's easy for us to be bulletproof towards people you don't know or don't know well.
Yep.
But when something happens very close, it hurts
a lot. Mm-hmm.
And so I made the comment earlier that if the threats outside of the church, whatever. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'll handle it. No problem. Like, I have no problem beating a wolf with the staff that God gave me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where I wind up being weaker because it really does break my heart is when the sheep decide to turn on you.
Yeah.
And as a pastor, when your congregation decides that for whatever reason that maybe you're not growing to church the way they like to, maybe you cancel their favorite program, you know, whatever it may be.
Say it ain't so.
Yeah. maybe you taught truth and they didn't like it. But those things hurt. I mean to the core. It's just like being betrayed by somebody you don't know might be frustrating, but it doesn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Being betrayed by like a brother
is
extremely, extremely painful. Mm-hmm. And so to a certain extent, it should be, right? To a certain extent, it should be painful.
It means that relationship is real.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Paul when he talks about the people who left him. And the people who were helping him but now aren't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I'm putting this in there, but it does seem like there's actual heartbreak from Paul. But he doesn't stop.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Sometimes there's heartbreak and being bulletproof doesn't mean that you're not hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you continue in the pain.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you push through. And so I think that's a slightly different, you know, we were talking about not being hurt earlier, but I think there are times when it's appropriate for pain. And so in that pain, what do you do? Well, how do you deal with a betrayal from someone who is really close to you?
Mm.
And I think one of the things is you should listen to them. And you made that comment earlier. But I think you should listen to them and say, okay, is there any valid criticism here? And they may be wrong on the broader, you know, the whole reason they're mad in the first place, but be right about this particular criticism, right?
That's right.
They know you. You're not talking about strangers. You're talking about people who know you.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so they may be valid in certain areas. That doesn't mean they win the argument or the fight.
Yeah.
You know, it just means that there's areas that they have seen in you where you are not strong and you need to improve. So that's true or that's possible and that can be true. But, you know, how do you, and then to love them regardless. Right? Because if you're betrayed by a brother, you're still commanded to love that brother and to forgive that brother. And so that's difficult. Yeah. That is incredibly difficult. And to love the person who stabbed you in the back as you're trying to get the knife out of your back. Right?
Yeah.
That's tough. And there again, how do you do it? Because you love Christ more.
That's right.
Yeah, I was going to say something on top of that that might help me personally a little bit is like thinking about how Christ has forgiven you. Right?
Yes.
And then, so I'm sitting there and I do this sin, that sin, or whatever. And somebody sins against me and I'm going, well, I don't want to forgive them.
Yeah.
And then the heart of the gospel is, well, I've been forgiven. And then I'm going to sit there after being forgiven and go ahead and add some more sin to my account. Like I'm just putting more on Christ on the cross.
Yeah.
So that helped me like kind of conceptualize it a lot more. All of these sins that I've done, and I've just got a completely, not only do I have a clean slate, I've got the righteousness of Christ as well.
There's a special forgiveness for a brother or sister in the faith where if Christ forgave them, I can do no less.
Yeah.
Lest I be in judgment.
And it only damages you to hold on to that.
Yeah.
When you hold on to it and you refuse to repent of your hatred or your hard-heartedness in this area and forgive them, it goes back to, because I preached on this, I'm having such a hard time remembering what part of Matthew this was in, but it is, what are you focused on in this moment where you will not let go and you will not forgive? What are you focused on? It's where Peter says, well, I forgive seven times, right? And Jesus says, and Peter thinks he's done something special because the rabbis teach that you were to forgive three times, right? And so Peter's like, I do it seven. And Jesus goes, no, seventy times seven, right? Like, and there again, some people are like, okay, so 140 times, you know?
490.
Is it 490?
Yeah.
I was way off. For some reason, my brain went, anyways.
You know how I knew instantly what that was? Because there's a VeggieTales episode where that comes up, and the girl, she's quick at math, and they go, what's that multiplied? 490. And it's to this day, I can still see that picture in my head that the girl is so proud of herself for calculating that.
Yeah.
Just like Peter was possibly proud of himself for going above and beyond what the rabbis taught him. And Jesus shatters that reality he was living in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so there again, if we're dealing with someone that's a brother, right? But also, if we're dealing with someone that's not a Christian, we still pray for them. We still pray that God illuminate, shine His light into their darkened heart, bring repentance. Lord, forgive me for what I need to be forgiven of towards them. But bring them to repentance.
I've said it something like this before, that every relationship that I have has one goal, and that's to draw that person closer to Christ.
I like that.
So that means, you know, we're all saved, at least make professions of faith, you know, that kind of a deal. And we say, you know, in our relationship, I want y'all to grow in Christ, right? If I meet a stranger in the street who doesn't know Christ, I want him to know Christ. And so in every relationship that I have, my goal is for that person to grow in their relationship with Christ. And if that's zero, then I want them at one, right? And if that's at 75, I want them at 76. And it's always pushing for that. And you can't do that if you are hurt easily.
Yeah.
You can't do that if you are unwilling to forgive. And I think as Christians, I mean, listen, I mean, I'm thinking of an example in the text where they basically said, they called Jesus a bastard.
Hmm.
You know, they're like, isn't this Mary's son? And they're referring to that he didn't have, you know, that he was conceived out of wedlock.
So I can't remember. I think they ask, is this not the son? We know this man. Is this not the son of Joseph?
No.
A different place?
It's a different place where they say, wasn't he conceived at, or wasn't he born out of wedlock or something of that nature? Like, they point that out.
Hmm.
They point, and I can't remember where it is off the top of my head. I'll have to find it now. But and it's like they're pointing out the fact that he was born, like his mother and Joseph were not married when he was conceived. Therefore, what authority does he have to teach?
Right.
And these very same people, when he's being crucified, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right.
And he has given that same forgiveness to us. And as you grow in your relationship with him and you grow in that relationship in love, you notice that the commandment to love your brother as yourself is a little bit easier and a little bit easier.
Amen.
And so that means confronting sin. That means taking bold statements and bold action, but not out of vain glory.
Yeah.
Right. That's
I was about to point to that. Our discussion has gone from how to be bulletproof to witnessing, testifying, proclaiming the gospel. It naturally did that. We didn't plan that. It naturally did that because what's the part? We don't build ourselves up just to build ourselves up. We don't build a kingdom on earth just to build a kingdom on earth. We don't raise a family just to raise a family. The purpose of being thick-skinned for Ezekiel was to be the watchman.
That's right.
Was to share the God. Was to share in those days that the one true God requires them to repent of their sins.
Yeah.
Right? In our days, it's to get the gospel out there, the Great Commission, right?
Yeah.
So to be bulletproof for bulletproof's sake is, that's not the reason God would then give people that ability.
There you go. Hey, man, that sounds like an excellent place to play our way out.
Let's go.
So,
yeah.
All that being said, Johnny, we appreciate you joining us today.
Man, it was good to have you. Yeah.
Where can they find us?
Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Man Alive in Christ.
Man Alive in Christ.
We also have Gmail, manaliveinchrist@gmail.com. Send those questions, comments, what you like, what you don't like.
As I say to my church, questions, comments, not remarks. Yeah.
It won't hurt us because we're bulletproof Christians because of the man alive.
Because of the man alive, son.
Yeah. Thanks for watching.